today I'm going to lean on you guys some. I'm going to actually bring the mic out and talk with you guys in a little bit. But let me start with an idea. Here's the thing that's terrible about if you're in the dark and you don't have any light. The thing that's terrible about that is you don't trust yourself in that moment, right? To know what you're getting into. Especially if you have kids and Legos and it's just at your house. Like, you definitely don't. Even if you know the room, you don't know what you're about to step on, right? And so you have this, like, wave, like, steps or something. My wife actually broke her toe at one point walking around in the dark or trying to rush to get something in the dark. But I heard a guy in my Sunday school class talking about before, you know, coming out of drug addiction, and for quite a while there, wasn't able to trust himself, right? That darkness of all that addiction, he had this fear that he would stumble back into it. And one of the reasons he knows that Jesus has set him free and saved him is that inner trust now, that he knows where he's going, right? He knows he can do it with Jesus. And it reminded me of this idea of somebody who's walking in the dark or somebody who has a light, right? We've got this image. We're in the Gospel of John. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some Bibles here we can give to you. A couple guys would love to hand them out. Just put your hand up. We're going to be in John chapter 5, but here's this image I want us to start with. This idea of picture yourself in a dark place, but then you got this offering of this lantern, right? It's not the same as the sunlight coming through this window, but you have this offering of some sort of light. And if you are in trouble or you're really needing to move fast and it's dark, you're going to snatch up that light, right? You're going to pay attention to it. So we're in John 5. Jesus is going to be talking about himself. He's going to be talking about either God the Father or the Holy Spirit. There's a little bit of debate there, but I think he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be talking about a person. And he's actually going to spend the most time talking about this other person and what we're going to read today and about the light that they give. So it's John chapter 5, if you guys would turn there. If you don't know where John is at, there's a little table of contents right in the front of your Bible. But John chapter 5, starting in verse 31. Just last week, Jesus was talking to us about how he has the power to give people new life and how Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the one who is going to say at the end whether you're having life forever with him or whether you're coming under judgment, whether there's good news or bad news right there at the end. And Jesus, as he's talking about that, about how he's the one who can give people new life, he backs up those claims. And here in verse 31, he says, "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid." See, in the Jewish law system, and really most law systems, if somebody gets up and says, "I'm innocent," it's not just like the end of the trial, right? It's not just like, "Oh, okay, well, we heard it. He's innocent. Okay, let him off." And Jesus is saying here, like, that's the normal practice isn't one person testifies. In the Jewish system, there had to be at least two people to testify. Verse 32, Jesus says, "There's another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid." Now, Jesus will often use that language, "there's another," when he's talking about the Holy Spirit later in the Gospel of John. I think he's talking about the Holy Spirit right here, that the things that he's saying about himself, the Holy Spirit is inspiring and saying as well. There's some debate among scholars. He's talking about God the Father or the Holy Spirit. It's not a huge difference, really, but he's talking about here this idea that the Holy Spirit is also saying Jesus is who he says he is confirming it. We're going to focus where Jesus spends the most time in these verses today that we're going to read, these five verses. He spends a verse on himself, a verse on the Holy Spirit, and then he spends three verses talking about this guy, John the Baptist. So that's what we're going to focus on. He says, "You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth." Now, if you don't know John the Baptist, we saw him, we're reading through John right now. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist is the guy who says, "I'm not the Savior of the world. It's not me. I can't fix everything." But he points literally to Jesus and says, "I'm not worthy to untie that guy's sandals." but he is the Lamb of God. He's going to make things right. So he points to Jesus. And then in chapter 3, you have this awesome thing where John is becoming less popular, but he's just lifting Jesus up, saying, I want to see Jesus do more and more and more. So he's this type of, he's really amazing as far as humans go, right? So Jesus points him out. He says, you guys have had John the Baptist. John's testified what's true. Verse 34 kind of knocks maybe all of us as humans down a peg, though. Jesus says, not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. You know, I've heard a lot of Maywood people talk about going to court, and there's a lot more fear about going to federal court from just conversations with you all. But there's this idea of everybody wants witnesses in their favor when they're going into court, right? And you want a witness that matters, right? Somebody that's going to be trusted, have something to say. Jesus is saying, at the end of all things, Jesus is going to be the judge, and no matter what somebody else says about you, that's not going to matter to Jesus. Whether they like you or don't like you, whether they understand you or say it's okay. But it's also interesting here, Jesus is saying he's bringing John up, not because Jesus needs John to back him up, but because Jesus wants us that bad, that he'll reach out to us any way he can with anybody that we respect enough to open us up. What Jesus is saying here, and we're going to unpack this more in a minute, is Jesus will use people in your life who are imperfect, who are not totally the whole package of God, but he'll use them in your life because he cares that much about bringing you to him. Jesus wants to use imperfect people to bring you to him. Here's how he describes John in verse 35. John was a lamp, just like we have this image here, that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. Or to enjoy that light. So John, you know, when we last left John in chapter 3, it mentioned this is before John was put in prison. And the Gospel of John doesn't give us all the details about John, but we know enough from the other Gospels to know he gets put in prison, then he gets decapitated because he's standing on what's true, and not everybody likes that. You guys can imagine how that can get you in trouble. So I got John into trouble with the government at the time. But what Jesus is saying here, there was a time when people listened to John. For a little while, they enjoyed his light. It's interesting there, he doesn't say, you guys totally responded and repented and listened. He says, you enjoyed it for a little while. You kind of get this idea that like John was almost a spectacle. You know, he's so different than most people, and he was calling people out. People were responding, but some people showed up to watch kind of the show with John, and they didn't really accept the truth, right? But John shined for a little while. So here's my question for you guys, if we can go to this next slide. Here's what I'm going to walk around with in just a minute, and I'm not going to make every single one of you answer it, but the safest thing to do is think about your answer right now, because it might come to you. And it's, who has God put in your life to help you live like Jesus? So it says, here Jesus says, I'm going to mention John because I want you to believe. I want to save you. But the Gospel of John, if we've been reading through it, it talks about you get saved, you get new life by believing in Jesus, by believing that Jesus loved you and died for you and showing you a new way forward. And so if you're here today and you're like, I don't really know who Jesus is, you haven't taken that leap of like, I believe Jesus is my Savior. I believe Jesus loves me. I believe Jesus can set me free. But if you are here today and you're like, I'm trying to follow Jesus. I'm trying to listen to him and do what he tells me to do. I'm trusting that his way is better than my way. My guess is God's put some people in your life that helped you to get there. And I can tell you right now, they're not perfect people, right? Like, we don't have any of those running around. But just like John, Jesus is willing to shine through imperfect people if it'll get us to accept him. So when you're thinking about who has God put in my life, don't think about the coolest looking person or the best speaker or the best teacher. Think about like who said something that made me change? Who said something that made me take a step towards Jesus? I'm going to mention somebody by name. I think this one's an encouraging one. So I think this is an okay one of like, if you got somebody in the room that you can say, this person helped me get to know Jesus better, like, let's encourage each other with that. So there's a lot of people I could mention. I've thought of a lot of people as I've been thinking about this question. But the one that hit me today that I should talk about was because this morning I got up, and one of the very first things I do is I get on my knees and I try to say, Jesus, you're my king. And I didn't come up with that idea. I was in a Sunday school class with Gabby, and Gabby said, this is how I start my day every day. I get on my knees and I say, Jesus, you're my king. And I just thought, there's really no reason not to do that. You know, like, that just seemed like the best sort of idea, right? Of like, just, I'm trying to live that way, so I might as well physically do it in hopes that the rest of the day will go better. And I've had a lot of bad days where I haven't followed that out well, but I know that she said that years ago, but it changed the way I acted this morning. And I know it changed the way I acted this morning because I physically moved different, right? So for you, there's probably lots of people that have helped you, but be thinking, who's somebody that said something or lived in a certain way, they showed you something, and it changed you. It helped you say, I'm opening up to more Jesus. I'm listening to him more. I'm obeying him more. That's really our relationship with Jesus. We listen to him, and we follow him. So I'm seeing head nods in the front row. Those are dangerous to do head nods. So I'm going to come to Rachel first. I saw your head bobbing up and down, so...
Well, this is an easy one for me, Mr. Mark Whitworth. This past year and being in team captains, he's just said some things that have really struck my heart, and they really have changed the way that I've thought about things and the way that I act in my everyday life and the things I focus on, especially with goals and where I want to see my own ministries go. So, yeah, Mark Whitworth.
Awesome. So I'm going to keep going on. So, Lester, I'm coming to you next, man. Who's somebody in your life that Jesus has used to be that sort of a lamp?
He's sitting in front of me, yeah. Donnie.
Yeah. Tell us
the
specific, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the spot. I can't really.
So, Lester said Donnie, and he's on the spot. So, he's like, but there's a lot of things. Donnie's next.
So, when I first came to this church, I used to walk around the halls and lost and really didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. And this tall, bald-headed guy used to follow me around and kind of point me in the direction of where to go. He would love me until I could love myself, man. He'd take me to, put me in doing different things as service work and kind of to give back because I had taken so much. And that's Coach Bob, and he was definitely the godly face in my life.
So if you didn't hear that from Donnie, Donnie was saying Coach Bob loved him when he didn't love himself. And he showed him how to walk that out. It's pretty amazing. So, Katie, can I come to you? Can I put you on the spot? Okay.
It's a long answer, but the short one is my daughter, Paige, our oldest child. I've been a believer my whole life, but I was not practicing my faith. And she started coming to this church when she was a preteen. And continued to come and continued to come until her father and I decided to join her. And then the rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian.
So I was saved when I got here. But the person that had the most profound effect when I was new here, a person that showed me that a person from my history and lifestyle really could live this life out and do it for real, was absolutely 100% Josh Monk.
Yeah, Vern. So Brian's saying Josh showed him somebody like him could actually serve Jesus. It was his living example. It was possible.
And when I first came to this church, I was lost too. But, Josh also showed me the way. But when he passed away, Mr. Mark Whitworth was kind enough to show me his love and his kindness. I wouldn't be anything without this church. I love this church. It's my home.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So we got three amazing ladies right here, and then we're coming right back here. But one of the three of you, I know all three of you probably don't want, you got a list. Let's hear it.
Well, I do have a list. And Kathleen Wright is up there, and Mickey and Coach Bob. My son and Marcus, Eddie Moss and Jan Stoller, Joy Larson and Jen Harrington. And I'm just glad I'm here.
I have two ladies that helped me live better in Christ. One is my wife, who's never wavering. She will not lie. And she will not let me get away with it. And then there's this other crazy lady named Gigi. Everyone looks at her like she's crazy when she's singing this stuff. That's because they don't understand. She's not crazy. She's just crazy in love with Jesus.
Yeah. His wife won't let him, will not lie herself and won't let him get away with lies. It definitely sounds like very Christ-like, though, too. Like when you interact with Jesus, he hits you with these true things, and he pushes you to do the same. That's awesome. We're coming to Robert, so coming over to you.
I have to say my mother's been my light. She told me, gives me tools, tells me how to live, tells me that I can only rely on the Lord, and trust in him for my happiness and fulfillment. It's only one. That's all I got.
There you go. I'm going to squeeze by. Robert said he's got to only trust in the Lord for his happiness. That's what his mom taught him. So, Matt, we're coming to you, man.
For me, it was coming to the Good Foundation. Actually, coming to this church and finding a home when I didn't think I had one out here. Being from Chicago, being away from my family, here I feel like I'm back home. And, yeah.
Eric Gossie, Eric was just like me, a hot mess at one time, and I seen what Jesus could do it for him, so I hope that he could do it for me.
Yeah. So Eric is up there, I think, next to Ryan somewhere, but another example, Darren was saying, of just Eric was a hot mess, Darren said. But if God could fix him, he could fix me. There's a lot of hope like that, right? Or Carlos, we're coming to you, man.
Polyphidy. Yeah, he's like my conscience, Yeah, I'm. Oh, that's 50 right there. Yeah.
So yeah, we're coming. Yeah, there's Matt. Okay. So Matt's like a conscience there for Carlos saying. So coming to Chris.
It's endless. Josh Monk, the first person. Then from there, Josh Patterson, Brian English, Bob and Jake, and Maywood every time I drive by this place every day. Thank you, Jesus.
So I've been just bouncing around all over the place, but we've got a couple more spots to share. Anybody say, yeah, this is a specific thing I can mention. Like, this is how I've changed because of what somebody put in me. We're coming, Patrick, first.
The person that got me closer to God was Maywood Baptist and my grandma. Like I said earlier, my grandma's 100 years old. She's been my life. Now I got my kids now back in my life, and they're teaching me that they are loving God more than like I am, I'm proud of that. And I get to talk to my daughter every day now. Before, I didn't get to talk to her. But now, since I'm clean and sober, we talk every day. I fall asleep on her, but I still get to talk to her. But she understands. Dad works a lot of hours and works his butt off just to support her and my family and keep my sobriety clean. So, but the main thing is the Maywood Baptist Church got me closer to God and my grandma. So,
great stuff, Patrick. Okay. Jason, and then we're going to wrap up with Jason, okay?
Daniel and Skyler Stewart. When I was unlovable, they loved me. They didn't know who I was. They allowed me in their house. They unconditionally loved me, and they loved everybody. They didn't ask for nothing to gain. They just loved me. And when they realized I was, their love wasn't helping me, they said, "We still love you, but you got to get out of here because we're not going to enable you. We want you to do good." So they pushed me out the nest. And then when I was doing good, they still loved me.
It's a big deal. If you guys know Jason well, if you know his story, for someone to give him unconditional love, and then when seeing it was unhealthy, to have that true love that put a real boundary on we can't enable the unhealthiness, and then when it was healthy again, to be right there again without bitterness. I mean, there's these moments, right, where even though we're not perfect, even though we're not perfect, God gets to shine through us, you know? And even if it's, you know, like we got these, some of these stained glass windows, you know, this one over here has been refurbished. Look how much brighter it is than these other ones, right? But even the ones that have got decades worth of some dust and some yellow stuff on the outside, you know, they're still letting some real sunlight through, right? And what you guys described is like God is really shining through some people in your life. Jesus himself wants to interact with you in perfect connection, right? But he mentions these, we mentioned these other people today so that you can be saved, right? This idea like Jesus put these other people in your life because he cared enough to say, I'm going to reach you any way that you'll listen to me. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you that God has put somebody in your life to show him a glimmer of Jesus, show you a glimmer of Jesus. Okay? One more image, and then we're going to do a little activity to close out, okay? Here's the image. My daughter, Sequoia, she's 5. She's sitting back there, and you think it was yesterday, maybe? Oh, she's waving, yeah. A couple days ago, I was in one end of the room. The light was off in the room, and she needed to come into this room. We had to go through it to get to this bathroom. And I said, do you want me to turn on the light, which would be kind of stepping away from her, or do you want me to come hold your hand? Because she was standing in the hallway, and she said, like, I don't want to come into the room because it's dark. And what Sequoia said to me is, I want you to hold my hand, right? Like, she was scared of the dark. She runs through rooms by herself all the time with the light on. But when given that option of, like, do I want you to turn a light on for me or do I want my dad to hold my hand, she wanted me to hold her hand, right? And all these people you've mentioned, I really think, like, Jesus is shining his light through them. But I also really believe if you say it, Jesus will come over and hold your hand. Like, I really, really believe that. Like, God, who made everything, will come over to you if you want. He won't just fix your problems, but he will come right over to you and hold your hand and walk you through those dark spaces. And if all you want is a light on, if all you want is a little help, sometimes God's humble enough to just give you a little bit of help. But if you want a relationship with him, I can guarantee you, you can have it. So the last thing we do, we close out reading Psalms because we're trying to learn how to pray. We're kind of beginners at prayer, myself included. So we read a little bit in the Psalms as a way to pray. And today when we do this, I'm going to grab a chair. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to ask you guys to all stand up. We'll kind of get our blood flowing for a minute. And we're just going to read a couple verses. But I'm going to try to guide you in praying these verses, okay? And some of you came in the room today and you're going through something hard. And when David wrote this psalm, he was under attack. He was in a dangerous spot. He spent a bunch of his time talking about how hard his life was. But then he's going to talk to God about the confidence that he has because of God. So I'm going to lead us in prayer. If you guys will close your eyes and bow your heads, or if you want to read along, you can, if you want to keep your eyes open. But Psalm 52, verse 8. But I am an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I want you to pray right now and say, God, even though my life has some really hard things, I trust that I can flourish if I stay close to you. David says, I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. Even though David was in a dangerous spot and people were attacking him, he could trust God. Whatever you're going through today, can you honestly say to God, God, I trust that you love me. Jesus, I trust that you love me. He says, I will praise you forever for what you have done. Think back to something God has done for you. And will you right now in your heart say, God, thank you for doing that for me. David says, in your name, I will hope, for your name is good. We all go through tragedies in life. Folks in this room have lost a good friend recently. Others have lost family recently. Can we right now with David say, we're going to put our hope in God, and we're going to trust that God's good? He finishes and says, I will praise you in the presence of your saints. And right now, in this moment, even though we're being silent, we can all silently together say, God, you're good. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the scouts. Jesus, I thank you for the people that you've put into Maywood. Jesus, most of all, I thank you that you will go to any length to save us, any length that will allow you to. You don't force the door of our heart down, but I thank you for how far you go to get to us. Jesus, help us to open up to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.